Permanence of Bhari Vijaka Charja Satya Satya Sisi Manjus Divine Grace Sisi Bhakti Vinanta Swami Sila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavi Mekhi is confounded Charja Sila Prabhupada Ki Prem Sikosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adoita Garada Shiva Sari Govara Bhakta Vinda Ki Sisi Radhakrishna Gopinath Samakanda Radhakunda Giri Govardhana Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Navadvip Maya Bodham ki jai, Gangamayi ki jai, Yamunamayi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Nityananda, Gaura Premananda, Hari Gaura. I just read it and then start the official class after. So I read the summary first and then we start the class. So here is the summary in the BBT edition of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the summary of chapter 29, which is very famous as the beginning of the Rasa Lila, pastimes of Krishna, and these, of course, are the essence of the smiling face of Krishna. But yet they are very, very deep and especially difficult, and in one sense very easy to appreciate, and in another sense very difficult, extremely difficult to enter into the spirit of Krishna's Rasalila pastimes. So read the summary here. This chapter describes how Lord Sri Krishna, intending to enjoy the rasa dance, engaged in arguments and counter-arguments with the gopis. Then there is a description of the beginning of the rasa dance and the Lord's pastime of disappearing from the midst of the gopis. So this is a summary of the entire chapter in two sentences. Now a little bit of an expanded summary of the chapter. Remembering the promise he had made to the gopis when he had stolen their clothes, Lord Krishna employed his yoga maya potency and manifested within himself the desire to enjoy pastimes during an autumn night. Thus, he began to play his flute. When the gopis heard the flute sound, the impulses of Cupid were violently aroused within them, and they immediately abandoned all their household duties and hastily went to Krishna. All the gopis had purely spiritual bodies, but when some of the gopis' husbands and other family members stopped the young girls from going, Lord Krishna arranged for them to temporarily exhibit material bodies, which they then left at the sides of their husbands. In this way, they deceived their relatives and went off to meet Krishna. When the gopis came before Krishna, he asked, "Why have you come? It is not good for you to travel to such a place in the dead of the night, for this forest is full of violent creatures. Your husbands and children will soon come searching after you to bring you home and engage you again in your household duties. After all, the prime religious duty of a woman is to serve her husband and children. For a respectable woman to consort with a paramour is totally contemptible and sure to obstruct her progress to heaven. Moreover, one develops pure love for me not only by physical proximity, but by hearing topics connected with me, by viewing my deity form in the temple, by meditating upon me, and by faithfully chanting my glories. Therefore, all of you would do best to return home. The gopis were crestfallen to hear this, and after crying a little, they replied with a bit of anger, "It is very unfair for you to reject young girls who have abandoned everything in their lives and come to you with the exclusive desire to serve you. By serving our husbands and children, we receive only pain, whereas by serving you, the dearmost soul of all living beings, we will perfectly fulfill the true religious duty of the self. What woman will not deviate from her prescribed duties as soon as she hears your flute song and sees your form, which enchants the three worlds? Just as the Supreme Lord Vishnu protects the demigods, you destroy the unhappiness of the people of Vrindavan. Therefore, you should immediately relieve the torment we have felt because of separation from you." Wanting to please the gopis, Lord Krishna, who was always satisfied in himself, responded to their appeals by playing with them in various pastimes. But when the show of attention made them a little proud, he humbled them by suddenly disappearing from the arena of the rasa dance. So that's a summary of the chapter. And a description of the transcendental, the beginning of the first chapter of the transcendental pastimes of Krishna while he played with the gopis. So now the verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Badrayane Ruvacha. Bhagavan Apitaratri. Sarad Okula Malika. Viksharantu Manas Chakre. Yogamayam Upashrita. Anyone feels like to chant? Badarayana Uvacha. Sri Sukadev, the son of Badarayana Vyasadev, he said, Bhagavan, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Api, although, Ta, those, Ratri, nights, Sharada, of autumn, Utpula, blossoming, Malika, the jasmine flowers. So up to this point, the verse is explaining something that Krishna saw. And not only saw, he smelt the fragrance of the Malika flowers on this full moon night Ratri, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. So there's a reminder here that what's going to happen has nothing to do with the material world. It is Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, who is going to enact a very special pastime. So the Sarad in this month of the autumn season, the Utpala, Malika, the lotus flowers and the Malika jasmine flowers, which are especially fragrant, they were filling the autumn atmosphere with this fragrance. Viksha. Viksha means seeing. Thank you. Rantum, to enjoy Manat Chakre, he made up his mind. Yogamayam,
his spiritual potency
that makes the impossible possible. Upasritaha, resorting to. So Krishna, actually, one of our acharyas say that after finishing his evening meal, Krishna went onto the roof of his house, which was near his bedroom, and then he saw the full moon night of the autumn season. And then he smelled the fragrance of the night, which was filled with the lotus, fragrance of lotus flowers and the fragrance of jasmines. And upon seeing this, viksha, upon seeing this, rantum is a word that's used in quite a few verses in the 10th canto, and it means desire to enjoy. So in the other verses, mostly it refers to the other rasas, the other relationships with Krishna that Krishna wanted to enjoy, but here it refers specifically to he desired to enjoy with the Braja Gopikas. But Krishna desired to enjoy. He is, of course, as we know, the Bhoktaram, the supreme enjoyer. So he saw this beautiful night. And Prabhupada, in his Krishna book, he describes the beauty of that night, of the full moon night of the Sarat season. That full moon night is appreciated by everyone. And he describes in in the Krishna book, how even foreigners go to the Taj Mahal in Agra and look at the reflection of the full moon night in the pools of water there. And everyone appreciates this, because when the full, raise your hand if you've seen the full moon night of the Sarat season. I think everyone is being shy. Some of us don't want to raise our hands, but okay. But it's so yellow and it's so big. And then yoga vayam upasrita, but first manas chakre, that he actually made up his mind. He desired, now I'm going to do this. I'm going to enjoy this night with the Braja Gopikas. And yoga maya upasrita, he took shelter of his yoga maya to do this. Because there is no question of Mahamaya, or the illusory energy which provokes lust in the heart, that enjoying spirit in the heart, there's no question of that affecting Bhagavan, who is the controller of the illusory energy. So Krishna rather is employing, or the yogamaya energy of Krishna is acting to provide this situation for Krishna's enjoyment. And as soon as Krishna saw the full moon and smelt the fragrance of the lotus flowers and the Malika flowers, the jasmine flowers, he decided, Krishna decided, now I'm going to do this. And again, it was fully in cooperation and in harmony with Krishna's yogamaya potency, his internal energy. His internal energy, which is meant for, specifically, for providing Krishna pleasure. And of course, this is the stage that devotees aspire for. This is bhava bhakti, nitya sadasya bhavasya prakatya middhi sanyata, to give up the shelter of the external energy of Krishna's Mahamaya Shakti and attain the shelter of Krishna's internal energy. That's called Bhava Bhakti. And we'll speak more about this soon, Krishna willing. So here is the translation. Sri Badarayani said, Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all opulences. Yet, upon seeing those autumn nights scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, he turned his mind towards loving affairs. To fulfill his purposes, he employed his internal potency. Please repeat. Sri Badarayani said, Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all opulences. Yet, upon seeing those autumn nights scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, he turned his mind towards loving affairs. To fulfill his purposes, he employed his internal potency. Yoga Mayam Pashrita. Namo Vishnu Pidaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vinanta Swamini Tanamale. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nivaseya Sunyavadi Praskatya Dezatarade. Om Agyanatam Yananda Syaran Janajana Salakaya Chaksusa Militan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Sahapandantikam Vansa Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pabinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. will, the purport isn't very long, but there's so much to say about the verse and to introduce the Rasalila pastimes that perhaps we'll stop, and if we don't, partially, and if we don't finish the purport, perhaps we could say the same verse again tomorrow in class. That's up to the givers of the class, perhaps. So here is the purport, the BBT purport. As we begin the famous narration of Lord Krishna's Rasa dance, a dance of love with beautiful young girls, questions will inevitably arise in the minds of ordinary people regarding the propriety of God's romantic dancing with so many young girls in the middle of a full moon autumn night. In his description of the Lord's Rasa dance in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada painstakingly explains the spiritual purity of these transcendental activities. Those advanced in the science of Krishna, the great teachers or acharyas, leave no doubt that Lord Krishna is full and satisfied in himself, free of all material desire, which is, after all, a sense of incompleteness or lack. Materialistic persons and impersonal philosophers stubbornly reject the bona fide explanation of Krishna's transcendental nature. There is no reason to deny the beautiful reality of an absolute person able to perform absolute romantic activities, of which our so-called romance is merely a shadow or perverted reflection. So this is the emphasis of the commentary, the BBT commentary here. And Srila Prabhupada's emphasis in the Krishna book was somewhat different, as explained in this, in the beginning of this purport. Srila Prabhupada's emphasis was that, does anyone remember from just the first purport, the first paragraph of the purport? Does anyone remember what Prabhupada emphasized? Spiritual purity, yes, thank you. That Krishna's activity, even though it so closely resembles the dealings between young men and young women or old men and old women of this world, these romantic activities, they have nothing to do with the material energy at all. We say that they are transcendental. What does transcendental mean? How would you define the word transcendental? Raise your hand, please, if anyone would like to do that. Yes. You were first, but then you looked the other way. But loudly, loudly.
Anything which is not material is transcendental.
Okay, beyond matter, one could say. So it's not material, yes. Yes, beyond the modes of material nature. So transcendental means beyond everything that we experience with material consciousness. Now, that's a negative definition, or vyatirek, negative definition of something that's transcendental. It's beyond our experiences. But what's the positive definition of transcendental? How can we conceive of what transcendence is with material consciousness that's mundane, that's material, that's within the three modes of material nature? How can we conceive of something beyond what we experience? There is one comment in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, where he explains that when we meditate upon Krishna in the sadhaka stage, in the practitioner stage, we are not actually meditating on Krishna because we're using material concepts, the material ideas that are in our mind. When we say, as Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains in Madhurya Kadambini, when we say or compare, what's Krishna's complexion like? Who will say? Oh, no, but you have to raise your hand. You have to raise your hand. And not only do you have to raise your hand, You have to wait till I call on you. But okay, go ahead. You're so enthusiastic. Go ahead. Mataji, you neither raised your hand and you didn't wait for me to call on you. No. You're already sitting in the corner, so we're not going to call on you. Naughty girl. Okay. So, okay. What is Krishna's complexion usually compared to? Shyamasundara, Ghana Shyam. To what? Yes. A monsoon cloud filled with water, so effulgent. But our concept of a monsoon cloud is seen with I see it with my material eyes, and my concept of what a cloud is material. A cloud filled with water. And I remember one time during the rainy season here in Vrindavan, I saw a cloud filled with water early in the morning, and the sun was behind it. And it was incredible. It was so effulgent. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that actually has nothing to do with Krishna's complexion at all. When he has Sakshat Darshan, when he actually sees Krishna, he's describing this, he actually sees Krishna's form that's effulgent as a rain cloud in the monsoon season. He says, previously I have compared your complexion to a rain cloud. But now that I've actually seen you, I see that it has nothing to do with that. It is transcendental. So how can we describe what transcendental is from the platform of material consciousness? And that's what Sukadeva Goswami is going to do now. He's going to describe the most intimate, transcendental, non-material dealings between Krishna and his devotees, the most intimate, confidential, loving devotees in Vrindavan, the Braja Gopikas. But it must unfortunately reflect into our material concepts. Confirmed. It will reflect into our material consciousness and we'll conceive it as material dealings between boys and girls, unless we have fully transcendental consciousness. So how do we deal with this? The fact that we're going to hear about Krishna's dealings with the Braja Gopikas, he's going to dance with them in the middle of the night, and not only are they young girls, they're married girls already, many of them. They're already married, and he's dancing with them. I was once in Bangladesh, and a Christian Bangladeshi came to me and said, you know, how could you worship a god who dances with the wives of others in the middle of the night? And for this type of a reason, because the person didn't understand transcendence at all, and the position of God, and nothing that the Supreme Ishwara does, the Parameshwara does, has anything to do with the material energy. He is like the king who controls the prison house. He's never under it. It is because of this strong tendency, therefore, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they were very, very careful about how they spoke and presented these pastimes to the general public, because the general public naturally must definitely have material concepts. And Krishna, most amazingly, has hidden the most secret of all things, the most secret of all his dealings. He's hidden it in the plain sight of everyone. He's speaking about it directly. And Srila Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he even mentions this point. He says, I'm going to speak about things that
no one should, I shouldn't speak about publicly, but yet I know that no one will understand them. So therefore I speak about them, because it's so secret. It's what the Supreme Lord likes to do with his devotees in the most confidential way. And he's hidden this completely in the sight of everyone, but yet no one can understand it unless they have transcendental consciousness. Everyone can hear it, and everyone can misunderstand it unless they have transcendental consciousness. But yet, we have very careful commentaries by Srila Prabhupada, by the acharyas, to prepare our mind to do what? To just hear it. So that's the challenge when we hear the Rasalila sections of the Bhagavatam, to just hear it and not let it reflect into our material consciousness. I've heard His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj in describing in the 22nd chapter of the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, I've heard him, which is the chapter where Krishna steals the clothes of the young gopis. So he says, now we have to practice controlling our minds a little bit when we hear this, because the mind will tend to degenerate or take the spiritual and take it to the material platform. So what we should do is just hear. Hear and understand this is the most secret and wonderful thing, and how beautiful it is, because it is not tinged with material lust. It is just actual pure love, and pure love without any selfishness. Without any selfishness, in the mood of seva, in the mood of service, in the mood of pleasing Krishna. Or on the other side, Krishna, in the mood of pleasing his braja gopikas. This type of a mood that's completely free from lust is anyabhilasita sanyam jnana kamala vritam anukulena. This is what will bring full satisfaction to the self. This is what will actually satisfy each and every one of us to come to that platform. And in Bhakti Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami says that if our bhakti is misra, what does misra mean? It means fixed, mixed. If it's mixed, that type of bhakti will not bring the result of bhava bhakti. It will not bring the result of prema bhakti. So therefore he first defines bhakti in this way. He first defines bhakti before explaining what prema bhakti is, what bhava bhakti is, even what sadhana bhakti is. He describes that it should be done with this consciousness. Avanyabhilasita sanyam jnana kama. That Krishna, this is for you. This is for you. I'm offering this service that I'm doing is seva. It is not work. It is seva. I'm doing it for your pleasure. And even though my heart may not be, it has so much contamination, please just see. I humbly request you, very humbly request you to please see the good amidst all the other things that may be there, and please accept this service. And that's how Prabhupada first defined in a simple way the Maha Mantra. There are so many definitions of what the Maha Mantra is. So many exalted devotees have given definitions of the Maha Mantra, and Srila Prabhupada gave us a very simple but very deep first definition of please allow me to serve you. Please allow me to serve you. I'm tired of my attempt to be happy serving my senses and my mind. Now please allow me to serve you. Please accept my service. Please accept me.
as your servant. So simple, yet so meaningful, so deep. Please accept me as your servant. Bhava Grahi Janardana, you see the essence, the good essence of the attempt, like with Putana. Kamba Dayalum Saranam Brajema. She came to you in the form of a beautiful woman as a datri, as a nurse, to feed Krishna, baby Krishna. But her intention was terrible, but yet her intention was the worst, to kill Krishna. But yet she came to him in offering something, and he saw that. He took that part, the good part, the best part, the essential part, that she has come to me. And similarly, when Ajamil was chanting Narayana, who was he thinking of?
His son.
And Krishna's mood was, Krishna's mood was that, oh, my devotee is chanting my name. It's my duty to give him protection, and therefore he sent the Vishnu Dutas. So, Kamva Dayanam Saranam Brajema, Aho Bhakiyamastana Kalakutam, that who could find someone to serve who is more wonderful than Krishna? Because this is his character. And when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, when we read Bhagavad Gita, when we read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, then this is so important, and why it purifies us. Because we learn of the form of Krishna, but we learn also of the name of Krishna, but we also learn of Krishna's qualities. And his qualities are so attractive. His qualities are so attractive. He is just the person we are looking for to have a relationship with. His qualities are so attractive. And I think in Srila Vishnu, one of our acharyas explains in explaining this verse, and perhaps Srila Jiva Goswami, that he did this. Krishna performed the rasa dance not out of lust, because lust is atmendriya priti. It is selfishness. It is meant to satisfy me, my senses. And as our old dadu of many years ago used to say, that I am the worst kind of fish. I am a selfish. Lust is selfish, and love is selfless. It is meant for the pleasure of the other. And so I believe it was Srila Jiva Goswami says that Krishna performed the rasa dance. Why? To please the gopis. Not to enjoy the gopis, but yes, then he explains the pleasure of the gopis is what gave him pleasure. No lust, transcendental. But how do we conceive of this? How do we conceive of this? So we don't try to imagine, but we hear the activities, we hear the comments of the acharyas, we hear Prabhupada's comments, and we try to capture a little bit of Krishna's qualities in our consciousness, and that will purify us. And that will, purified means selfishness gone, lust gone, and attracted to pleasing Krishna, because he is so wonderful. So Prabhupada emphasizes
in his explanation of this verse, how that Krishna's activities are completely transcendental. They're pure, they're free from the modes of material nature. Yoga Maya Upashrita. The internal energy is acting, not the external energy. The external energy, what it does, it puts us in a bubble in which we imagine ourselves the center. And the mind, and our mind, which is the bubble that we live in, the mind of our consciousness, I've heard Prabhupada in lectures say, is a reflection of the spiritual world, a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. It is the gift of Maya, the perverted reflective gift of Maya that makes us imagine ourselves in the center of existence. And therefore, Yavanti Brahmana in chapter 23 of the 11th canto says there's no other cause of my suffering other than my mind, based on false ego, based on me, the imaginary concept of me as the center of existence. Instead of, it's a loveless life, it's a loveless mind, it's a lust-filled mind. And it's the opposite of Krishna consciousness, which is a Krishna-filled mind with Krishna in the center. And we have such an opportunity to worship C.C. Gaur-Nitai, C.C. Krishna Balaram, C.C. Radhashyama Sundar Lalita Vishakha, because, and that's what brings the community together. And Prabhupada has said this. He actually said it about New Vrindavan, but it is certainly true about Old Vrindavan, that the community should, in his words, rally around the deities. The deities, the center. That we should all be serving the deities. What can I do to please you? Please accept my service. It's maybe not the best quality, but please accept my service. Please accept my service. Please, I humbly request you. And if you don't mercifully accept my service, what hope do I have? And so many devotees have mentioned this, and it's really a credit to some very special souls. The temple room atmosphere here is so wonderful. It's so transcendental. Transcendental is more easily experienced than described, in a sense. How would you describe the atmosphere in Krishna Balaram Mandir in front of our Lords? One word, raise your hand if you have a word that can describe it other than transcendental.
Beyond purity.
Pure purity, yes, thank you. Anyone else?
Sweet.
Sweet. Huh?
Inconceivable.
Now, Mataji, is your chance.
All happiness.
All happiness.
Blissful.
Blissful. Did you say blissful? Good.
It puts you in trance.
You didn't raise your hand, but okay, we'll forgive you. This is your second time forgiveness. The third time, oh, who knows what I'll do. Yes, what did you say?
It puts you in trance.
It puts you in trance. Yes. Trance dance. Trance and dance, yes. It's fortunate.
Magical.
It's so uplifting to the heart. Huh?
Anugampa.
This is mercy. Whose mercy is it? Who?
Their lordships.
Their lordships. There's a, yeah. Their lordships and their servants. Who said fortunate? I like that one too. Yeah. Yeah, we're very fortunate to be here. Very fortunate to be here. And we should never take it for granted. I've seen this. It's really mercy. Prabhupada once said about being in Vrindavan. He said, Vrindavan is for Goswamis. It's really for those who have no material attachments. And that's why there's an intensity to Vrindavan. I don't know if any of you experienced that, but Vrindavan is such an intense place. It is so sweet, but it is intense. So Prabhupada said, Vrindavan is for Goswamis, and then he said, but I am Godas. So if we wonder why Vrindavan is so intense, there is an incompatibility to my being here. And there's an incompatibility because Vrindavan is for Goswamis, or those who are really detached from everything material and relishing on the spiritual level. So therefore, there's an incompatibility causes some intensity, and it's always Krishna showing us. We sometimes relate to it as Krishna holding up a mirror. And when you're an old man like some of us, when you still think of yourself as young, then you look in the mirror and you think, who's that looking back at me? Who's that old man? Old wrinkled man, he looks so funny. And horrible. So that's what Vrindavan does. You watch how you react to everything. And then the mirror comes up and you say, oh, not quite a Goswami yet, but yet we are here in front of them in this transcendental, what were some of the other words? Inconceivable, happiness, fortunate, illuminated, merciful, blissful, magical, yeah. This is by mercy. So Prabhupada spoke, he emphasized one point, Krishna's transcendence, and here in this, the VBT commentary here, another point is being emphasized. And the other point is, who can say, who has the audacity, or who can, the authority to say that God, the Supreme Lord of everything, cannot engage in romantic activities? Jamad yasya yataha. What does that mean? I couldn't hear, but you didn't raise your hand, so that's why I couldn't hear. Everything comes from him. He's the source of everything. And this is its reflected stage that we see in the material world, that I see in the material world. But the real pure part, the real unreflected, the actual image of reality, actual reality, exists in Krishna and in Goloka Vrindavan. That's actual reality, and this material world is, as Prabhupada would say, a perverted reflection of that. So Krishna went on top of the roof of his house, and he saw the full moon, and he smelled the fragrance. And his desire increased to fulfill the desires of the gopis that he had promised them when he had stolen the clothes of the gopis. At the end of chapter 22, he said, but I will fulfill your desires later on. So that desire came to his mind, and this was the Vrindavan forest was, it was setting the scene, and this is what this verse does, where the seeing the autumn night, full moon night, scented, fragrant, blossoming jasmine flowers, Krishna's mind turned towards Rangdum, towards loving affairs, and he took shelter of the spiritual energy to perform this wonderful pastime. So he's there and he thinks of the gopis. And our acharyas say that he was, since he had promised them his desire to fulfill their desires, to dance with them, to please them, just was increasing and increasing and increasing. Because in the 15th chapter of the 10th canto, where Krishna takes out the cows, he becomes an official cowherd boy from a calfherd boy for the first time. There's many very interesting parts of that. In the beginning, he reciprocates with the Vrindavan forest, because this is the first time he's actually entered into the forest of Vrindavan. And the forest of Vrindavan is ecstatic because it is the first time they present the essence of who they are to him. The flowers give their flowers to him. The trees give their twigs, and the birds sing, and the peacocks dance, and the bees, they hum. And they're all doing this as an offering to Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure, because the Vrindavan forest is the backdrop, just like the deities have the backdrop behind them. That to the backdrop, its purpose is to what is the purpose of the backdrop? Thank you, Paul. To highlight the lordships, Krishna Balaram. The purpose of the backdrop. The backdrop can't be very so bright and stand out so much that it distracts everyone's attention from their lordships. They stay in the background and they facilitate. So that's the mood of Braj. Everyone wants to facilitate what? The loving dealings ultimately between Sisi, Radha, Shyama Sundar. No one wants to separate them so they can jump in there. And if we have any false ego or that desire, we can't be in Vrindavan, actually. So the Vrindavan forest and the moon and the fragrant lotus flowers and the fragrant jasmine flowers, they are all a backdrop for this wonderful pastime that's going to take place. And this is the thrill, the ecstasy, just serving the pleasure of Krishna and his beloved devotees. So why can't Krishna have romantic dealings? He can't have, won't have, doesn't need to have lustful dealings, because lust cannot touch him, because he is the controller of the external energy, not he's never under it. So why can't he have? Who has the authority to say Krishna can't have these kind of romantic dealings that are free from all material inebrieties? So I read just a little bit of the, I read about a third of the purport only. But I'll stop here just to see if anyone has any questions. Thank you very much. Thank you for tolerating me being a little bit of a teacher inside. You're all very good students. Thank you very much. Anyone have any questions or comments? Yes, Mataji, you raise your hand first and then second. Yeah, first.
Hare Krishna, I'm very unqualified. I'm talking about myself. I'm very unqualified.
No good qualities. Not even one. And if we want to enter the Rasa, can we pray to Srila Prabhupada? What is your real question? Will he answer you and fulfill your desire?
I want to
I think, of course you can pray, but it reminds me of I won't tell it, it's not a good joke. But when it's a some degree, yes, you can. Yes, good desire to serve Krishna. But like, if someone goes to the teacher, who's they've just had an exam, or the exam is tomorrow, and someone goes to the teacher and say, "Please, you be merciful to me and help me pass the exam." But what will the teacher say? Will you study? That might help. So we have to do our part. And we leave the mercy, which is ultimately causeless. We can't force mercy to come. But yeah, we can. Sometimes we also say first deserve, then desire. But yet, unless we desire something higher, the lower desires will take over. But we should know our lack of quality and our need to study very hard and serve in a very sincere way and be as tolerant as a tree and chant nicely, etc., etc., etc. Okay.
Thank you,
Brother. Yes, Paul.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the wonderful class.
Hare Krishna.
Jagannath Puri is the home of Lord Jagannath. Navadvip Mayapur is the home of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Vrindavan is the home of Lord Krishna. I've never seen somebody left his heart in Puri. I've never seen somebody left his heart in Mayapur. But I've seen people leaving their hearts. I teach t-shirts. I lost my heart in Puri. Why?
Why not? Have you seen that I have left my glasses in Vrindavan also? Because Vrindavan is so sweet, and Mayapur and Vrindavan are no different. Sita Mayapur and Vrindavan, but you have to go deep to see that. That's what I've understood or heard. And Jagannath Puri is about missing Vrindavan. Jagannath Puri is about separation from Vrindavan, and Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri was always in Vrindavan. So we, t-shirts aside, Vrindavan is just so sweet. It's intense, but so sweet. How could one resist? So you've left, well, your heart is here, and you're in Vrindavan. Are you going to leave? No, good. And if you do, leave your heart here. But as long as your body is here, be in the mood of service. Yes, Paul.
You know, in the scriptures we say that Krishna is satisfied with himself. Then in the Bhagavad it says that Krishna made an arrangement to enjoy the ultimate sphere. So if Krishna is already satisfied with himself, then why would he make an extra arrangement to enjoy it? Would that be for the gopis?
Yeah, that's one way to look at it, that it wasn't for his enjoyment, it was for the enjoyment of the gopis, and when the gopis were pleased, that was his pleasure. So he's full in himself, but when we look at it from the point of tattva, we're seeing that he's not going external to himself to enjoy, he's enjoying with his energies. So when we say that he, when we feel a lack of something, then we go outside of ourselves to fulfill that lack. But Krishna just uses his energies, he's just playing with his energies, so he's never going outside of himself. That means he is always full in himself and always ecstatically full in himself. Is that okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, and then last question, because it's... You're closest to the microphone.
Over here.
Okay. Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
You were mentioning that on a material consciousness, it is very difficult to perceive the transcendence.
Impossible.
So Prabhu has a sadhaka.
No, but Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan is so powerful that everyone who somehow gets in the bubble of a powerful kirtan, something of transcendence, something of a different fragrance than material consciousness enters their heart, and they know that it's different. So, yeah.
So, what are some techniques which we can use to elevate our consciousness? Because we have to deal with the material world also, and we might be hearing and chanting, our consciousness might be good at that time, but...
Where do you live?
I live in Delhi.
So come to Vrindavan. Go to the temple, of course. There's 17 temples, we've heard, in Delhi. So just stand in front of the Radhaparthasarathi or Gornatai, or stand in front of them and bring your humble consciousness before them and make that impression in your mind. And also take always the Hare Krishna mantra with you. Try your best. And do what you do as a servant of your beloved deities. You need beloved deities to serve. But it's material energy. I once asked Prabhupada a question almost similar. It shows how difficult it actually is in one sense. I was sitting with Prabhupada, and I was in such a bad mood. And if you know, being in a bad mood is bad enough, but being in a bad mood in front of Prabhupada is really bad. You feel really bad about being in a bad mood. There's nowhere to hide. So I asked Prabhupada, how is it possible, or sometimes in the presence of a pure devotee, one feels liberated? But sometimes one is not. One is controlled by the modes. And his answer was very simple, that the power of Maya is very strong. So how to keep Maya away? Not with a broom, but by adding Krishna. How to get rid of darkness? We can only add light. So if we keep always in the light, then darkness won't be there. And what keeps us from being always in the light is our desires, material desires. So therefore, on one side we have to, anyabhilashita, we have to remove material desires. On the other side, we have to become more and more and more and more attracted to Krishna. Not have to, but it's in our interest. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonatai ki jai, Sisi Krishna Balarama ki jai, Sisi Vala Sama Sunda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Tayo Krimanandi Hare Bhagavatam.